Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Monday, November
Woohoo!
24th. I'm your host, Chad Short. We got David Griggs over there, John Slica. This must be a Under the Radar podcast, right?
It is Under the Radar, yes.
It's actually not. It's our Hoops HD report.
Hoops HD has been dispatched everywhere. John Tytel currently in Las Vegas, Rocco in Jacksonville. Who knows where Zach is? Joby's probably so. I lost track of where everybody went, but we're well represented, just not on this show.
No,
I'm still not allowed to go to events. Why is that, Chad? Why do I never get sent to
You're
Vegas?
Not allowed to go
Why
to
was
events. I've got a day job. Sleeka's got a day job. So the three of us at least
well,
are
actually,
here,
I've got a night job.
Yeah.
A night job that he's off from tonight.
But, yeah. I'm banned from most arenas, so I can't go to these multi-team events.
But we're going to be talking about anything and everything that's been going on. And it is day one of Feast Week, November Madness. Well, I guess it technically started a few days ago with some of these tournaments, but the really kicks into high gear today. We've already seen some great games today. There's going to be more games this evening. We're recording this around 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Expect great games the rest of the week here with all these incredible exempt events. If you want to find out more about them, the in-season tournament tabs are there, which has been a big hit today. Check that out. Check out the podcast we did last week, which is linked up there, previewing them. Did I cover everything?
I think so.
So on that note, I guess we're done. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. It's been real.
We're going to go over conference by conference, things that have been going on, things that to expect over the course of the next week, over your Thanksgiving holiday and the like. And if I can figure out where the hell the button is, I'll even pull up a screen share here. There we go. I figured we'd start tonight in the Big East Conference because it has one of the biggest storylines we've seen already just today. I was going to do it for you, Stalika, for what we saw yesterday, but let's start out with today's storyline here. Griggs, when we did our preseason Big East show, we talked about Seton Hall as being, they don't even care about basketball. This team's going to be awful. And here's a little stat for you. This season, there was a record with the AP poll. No team that was unranked had beaten any team in the top 25 of the AP poll for the first 96 times they played this season. 96-0. That was an all-time record. Game number 97, Seton Hall and NC State out in Maui today, and that's where the streak ends. How about the Hall beating Will Wade's team in a game that just shocked me?
It did. Seton Hall did come in unbeaten, and there were times where I looked at that and I was like, huh, well, they're unbeaten, but they're untested. They went to the pastry cart and loaded up on home bye games. But if you watch the game, they didn't just win it. They won it convincingly. They looked really, really good in that game. And I think that this is one of the more surprising results, at least for me, of the season, considering not just that they beat them, but how they beat them and how good they looked in that game.
Not to mention, it wasn't just a pastry cart. They own the pastries cart. It was the worst ranking in terms of all D1 teams going into today, but it was a completely different story with Seton Hall getting out to an early lead from the get-go and NC State. If they had a lead, it was only briefly in the first half and almost non-existent in the second half as a Pirates pulled away to a quick double-digit lead.
Yeah, and this was an NC State team that I, for one, was super big on. So, this was just a really, really surprising result.
Yeah, so we may need to talk a little more Seton Hall. We've already been talking Georgetown, which we hadn't been thought we'd discuss much. And speaking about teams – how about a little special guest we're getting to us live from Las Vegas, John Tytel jumping on here.
John! John, they kicked me out. They kicked me out of Las Vegas. Not just the arena, all of Las Vegas.
Kick me out yet? I'm coming to you live from the post-game press conference. I just missed the end of Syracuse-Houston, but behind me is the setup and the mic that the players use and everything. So, I'm trying to keep it down so I don't disturb the rest of the room here, but I have a few minutes. Figured I'd hop on and see what's going on.
I'll tell you what, before we get back into any of the other stuff we were talking, let's just jump right to you, Tytel. How have things been going out there in Vegas, and what have you seen so far?
I was at Michelob Ultra this morning. I'm now at Grand Garden for the evening session, but I got to see the Big 12 dominance. Baylor beat Creighton and Iowa State beat St. John's. As far as highlights, Baylor's sophomore, Cameron Carr, I think, sorry, he's only 6'5", but he was all over the boards, as was all of Baylor. And then for Iowa State, it was a combo effort with Jefferson and Lipsey and Momcilovic made like 5 threes. And it was neat because the game tomorrow is one of them is Creighton, Iowa State. And Coach McDermott and Coach Otzelberger are not just good friends, like they're the best of friends. Like Otzelberger said that McDermott's known him since high school, and without his help, he might not be sitting where he is today. The low light was the Patino press conference. He was disgusted with his team's play, even though they came this close to winning. And I was able to get in one question, and he didn't hurt me too bad. So it's been a neat experience. And then Gonzaga, Alabama is next up. So very excited for day one.
Yeah, so I know Patino ripped into a couple of the people that are questioning him today, calling their questions pretty awful. Thankfully, it wasn't one of your questions, John.
John, had it been one of your questions, I would have been so proud of you. Like,
I mean, he didn't
tomorrow,
love it.
Ask Rick Pitino an awful question.
I asked him about facing a fellow national championship coach in Scott Drew tomorrow, and he's like, you know, like we're facing Baylor, not just Scott Drew, and they're not facing just me; they're facing St. John's. But he respects Coach Drew, like. Typical coach answer. He was much harder on other people, so I took it for what it's worth.
Did yeah. you get to did you get over to the arena there for the end of the Syracuse Houston game or the overtime game?
I missed it. They were emptying everyone out, so we had to wait in line. Coach Sampson was a bit, considering he's still undefeated, he was not happy with his team's performance, especially the freshmen. He says how they're always up and down and up and down. Chris Sinak looked like he had a great game though. 12 boards today. And I think he's made 5 of his past 6 threes going back 3 games. So for a 6'11 freshman, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah. Right. So, well, John, tonight, well, we before we went to air tonight, we just got done watching the Central Connecticut Sacred Heart game. Ask one of the coaches tomorrow their opinions on that game.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, we will air that on Under the Radar.
I'll tell you what, John, I know you just caught a little bit of the confidence, didn't see much of the game, but I thought maybe the problem for Houston was it was just Uzan and Sharp was their time. That was 52 of 78 points they scored in this game. I think that spread around the ball a little bit more, don't they, going forward if they want to be more successful?
Makes sense to me, but again, yeah. He's undefeated, so I'm not going to tell Kelvin Sampson how to do his job.
Oh, I'm a little disappointed. You're not telling him how to do his job. Come on.
Maybe tomorrow. We'll see if Mark Few wants to take a couple whoppers tonight in a few hours. We'll see.
So you're there for the Gonzaga game. You sticking around for the late game too, or?
I don't know, Chad. I want to play some poker, but I want to see some basketball. What's a boy to do?
Maybe get a few hands in between games. Hey, wait. The game should be at around 2 a.m. Eastern. Next games don't start till noon. That gives you 12 hours to play.
Sounds good to me.
Who needs to sleep? All right, everyone. John Tytel coming to us live from the Players Era Championship for you. Have a few more minutes to hang around, John. We were talking a little Big East hoops before you jumped on here. I'm going to go right back up to that here. Talking about sure. Notably the Seton Hall surprising win out in Maui over NC State today. And Sleek was just about to give us a report on Xavier, who also picked up a surprising win this week. Almost knocked off their arch rival Xavier and then did beat West Virginia.
You mean Georgia?
Well, that would be impressive. Georgia, I'm sorry. Xavier could beat Xavier.
Georgia, thank you.
But then again, I would argue it took a while for this team to gel. If you saw their first 4 games, they barely win their first 2 bye games. Basically a no-show against Santa Clara. Slightly better against Iowa, but whatever happened after that Iowa game, things finally started clicking against ODU, and despite falling into a 13 or 14 point hole against Georgia on Friday night, they were able to mount a comeback, even had a 2-point lead like late in regulation. It looked like they were going to be all right after hitting a go-ahead shot in the closing minute, but Georgia...
God.
even though Georgia had looked like they had never faced a zone, they were able to... hit a go-ahead 3 with about 9 seconds to go, and Musketeers, they missed the opportunity to knock off the Bulldogs, but Jovan Milicevic was one of the guys, along with Wright, were unconscious from 3 on Sunday against West Virginia, and we're starting to see why Milicevic and Borovichinen made the trip from Albuquerque along with Richard Pitino. So they got a good core that's slowly building. It's still going to be a young team to watch, so there's still going to be some ups and downs as we go into the part of the Big East season.
Yeah, I realized that they didn't beat Georgia, John. If you could pull up Xavier real quick, Chad, I was their profile isn't really anything to praise yet, but when you look at sweating out Marist, who's awful, and Lemoyne, and getting boat raced by Santa Clara, and when they came out and beat Old Dominion, I thought they looked good, but my impression was, well, God, Old Dominion must not be nearly as good as I thought. They looked like a top 40 team in this event, and prior to this, they didn't look like a team. This is not hyperbole. I don't think they looked good enough to finish in the top half of the Horizon League. And I'm trying to remember the last time I thought any team improved that much in about a 5 or 6 day period. That was just remarkable how much better they looked. And I know they didn't beat Georgia, but they could have. They looked so much better in this event. And what the hell happened? And is there reason for Xavier to be optimistic?
Well, I'll tell you what, John, you have to tell before we, I know you got to jump off here. Any last thought on Xavier before you jump off here? I know you got to get back to the games.
No, Chad, but what happens in Vegas?
See, yeah. There we go. He is gone. He's off to the poker table. The games. Griggs, I want to discuss one other team real quick here in the Big East. Tytel mentioned them briefly, and that's this Creighton team that the only losses are Gonzaga and Baylor, but they just don't look the part to me yet this season. I don't. It's hard to say because they haven't done anything wrong. Yeah. Maybe we find out more with Iowa State tomorrow, and if they do finally get a win here, or even a win on Wednesday in the players' era, I may change my mind. But if this team goes 0-3 out here in Vegas, I think there's questions here because they haven't looked great. They were in there with Baylor, but they weren't. You know, they were so boat raced by Gonzaga.
Yeah, I mean, Gonzaga just bulldozed them. And it didn't even look like they belonged on the floor with the Zags.
And of course, McAndrew gone for the season, too, now, which doesn't help.
Yeah, I thought that really hurts. I kind of wrote them off. You were the one that sort of, like, talked me off the ledge. Well, it's early. They have other chances. It's hard to win at Gonzaga. There's still reasons to be optimistic. I don't think they're going to win tomorrow, but is it one of those teams that just gets off to a slow start and picks up steam a little later? Like, is it one of those deals where we sort of write them off and then conference play starts and by mid-January they've won 4 out of 5 and we're like, wow, Creighton's on a roll? I still think that their ceiling is about what it was when the season started, but they're just not playing up anywhere near it yet. And they looked a little bit better today. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the bigger problems you didn't touch on is now you lose Jackson McAndrew in the front court, which was already going to be noticeably different from last year when you at least had a human shot blocker in the post and Kalkbrenner. I mean, we already knew this was going to be a different Blue Jays team on that front, but without McAndrew, it's going to be even more vulnerable inside for the Jays. But fortunately, they'll still have some outside shooting like they always seem to do under Greg McDermott. We'll see how they do in their next couple players era games to see how they recalibrate.
Yeah, let's take a quick look at the rest of that upcoming schedule here in the Big East. Seton Hall, they will be getting USC now tomorrow in the semifinals out in Maui. St. John's Baylor, Creighton, Iowa State. There's all the players era games coming up here.
How about that Georgetown-Dayton game? I'm kind of excited about that one.
And then they could get BYU, which are really just a game two here on Friday. If Georgetown is something, if Georgetown wins this event here, beats Dayton and BYU, they are on the map big time.
They're a team, again, that is noticeably better than they've been in recent years. I think that they might be a tournament team. They're not just 5-0, they won at Maryland. And they've beaten some good teams. They haven't just stayed at home. I know we got to get moving on,
Yeah, we
Chad,
do.
but there is a, can we talk Butler for about 30 seconds here?
About 30 seconds. We are running very late already. Go ahead.
Okay, but 5-1, only loss at SMU in a game where they were really competitive and looked pretty good out in their event, won their event. I kind of think the Bulldogs are worth keeping an eye on.
Oh, we'll keep an eye on them at least here. And
Yeah.
they only play Wright State this week. A quick note here also Monday, next Monday, Temple Villanova. That is
Yeah.
for a spot in the Big Five championship game against the Penn Quakers.
Oh, yeah.
So how about that? Tytel gone already, but
Tytel's gone.
let's jump over to the Big Ten conference. There's a lot. There are it's like a nine undefeated teams as we record this. Although Oregon playing Auburn right now as we record this as well, that could change. But I'll throw it out to you, Slika. Do you want to start with the number one team in the nation, Purdue? Or you want to start somewhere else?
You pretty much have to start with Purdue when you look at what they were able to accomplish in the Bahamas. They get a win
Wild
against
one.
a Memphis,
God.
a hard luck Memphis team, and then they also blow away Texas Tech, which is making Griggs look like, well, Griggs when it comes to picking possible national champions. But
Yes.
that may be more of a statement about Purdue as to this is a team that only a couple of years ago came up short against UConn, the title game. Clearly, they could be well positioned to make the most of their second chance.
Unbelievably impressive what they did to Texas Tech on Friday. I was looking
Yeah.
so forward to that game, and I didn't even watch most of it because it was just so ugly.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't either. And when you look at what Purdue has done, and I know that it hasn't been all gauntlet, they played their share of bye games, but they won at Alabama, and Alabama outside of Purdue probably has the best overall profile so far. You keep in mind that they won at St. John's and won another big game on the road. I should remember it off the
Illinois,
top of my head.
it's right there on the screen.
Illinois, yeah.
They beat Illinois.
Yeah. And for Purdue to go there and win and then just blow Texas Tech into the sun, they're the most impressive team so far. It's not even debatable.
Let's also talk about what may actually be the game of the year so far. And nobody expected this. It was on late night. I
Oh
honestly
my
was in bed already.
goodness. Yeah.
10
10
and
after
Troy.
dark.
USC and Troy in a triple overtime thriller. One on a shot where USC actually defended the play down by, just sorry, Troy defended the play down by 2 points. Thought they
Yes.
had the game won. Instead of just holding onto the ball and taking the foul and going to shoot free throws, they tried to throw it down the court. USC was able to somehow come away with it, somehow get it into the front court, somehow get an off-balance three-pointer that had no prayer to go up, and it went in, and it was
Yeah.
unbelievable. If you didn't watch the highlights, go watch them
We'll discuss this more on Wednesday,
again
but
on
it
Wednesday.
was Tuesday, sorry.
Tuesday.
Yeah, but you're right. It was one of the most exciting regular season games I could ever remember seeing. It's up there with that Dayton Kansas game, and which is right up there with that other Dayton Kansas game. I mean, I think Oklahoma and Kansas played a triple overtime. But what was so remarkable is that every time it looked like USC was about to not blow it open but get control, Troy would punch back. And this was a win that I think USC deserves some credit for because they had to play very well to win that game.
They had to play well to win that game, but then they barely got by Boise State. Really could have lost that game
Yeah.
today out in Maui.
Yeah.
Remember, this is a
Boise
Boise State
State
team that lost to Hawaii Pacific.
and hasn't lost to anybody since until today. They've looked a little bit better since then.
And by the way, USC Seton Hall, this is going to be for a spot in the Maui Championship.
I'll tell you
Yeah.
what, let's take another break from discussing these games because we got another guest star coming on. This has been a night full of guest stars. We had Tytel checking in from Vegas. Now we've got Rocco Miller checking in from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes, sir. How we
All
doing,
right.
guys? It's Delika and Griggs, the guys. It's feast week and we're feasting on these YouTube videos. We love
How are your eyes, Rocco? Have your retinas been burned from that bright orange floor out there?
I'm loving it. Nothing says Florida November Thanksgiving tournament than some purple and orange, beautiful tiger stripes from the lovely folks at Edward Waters University. It's been great. It's been great.
Yeah, the
I
games
got to
were good.
admit, I have some pretty good memories myself of Jacksonville in 2015 when Georgia State upset Baylor and Ron
Yes.
Hunter appeared to have one of his classic celebrations falling out of his chair.
And that's, that's the goal. That was over, of course, over at Veterans Memorial, the big arena. If we can do well at Edward Waters, maybe one day we'll be able to play in there.
I could come down and do the play-by-play. We could have a puppet on play-by-play.
Yeah, we actually we could use that. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Rocco, why don't you join us? We were just talking a little Big Ten hoops, actually. Unfortunately, you just kind of missed our discussion of the USC Troy game. If you want to throw a few thoughts out there, I'll let you because that was such an amazing game. It's probably worth it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean I of course was along for the entire ride, and it was a cool experience because that day Scott Cross came on to one of the other shows I'm part of, and like they had beat San Diego State just 2 days earlier. I think we all talked about over the email how they lost at CSUN and lost at LMU. And then, I mean, these guys are just relentless in terms of not letting any kind of excuses or obstacles deter them. I thought Campbell, the kid from not far from where I'm from, Puyallup, Washington, he's had a crazy basketball journey to end up at Troy. Goes for 32 points. When they needed a big shot, he was just stepping up left and right and making them. So that was a big story there individually. Victor Valdez had a tremendous game, but they fouled him out, I think, in the second overtime. But the way the game ended, oh my goodness. And I know Troy could easily get a lot of flack for, throwing the ball down court a little
I
bit.
like the play. I think he should do that more often. So,
I
yeah.
will defend Troy to the end on that
That,
because
yeah, and I don't blame you guys at all. I just think there's a little bit of shades of Furman, Virginia there, when Virginia tried to throw it away, and Furman, way bigger stakes in that game, of course. But what we did get the opportunity to see is an unbelievable game. And the other thing I think I really want to make sure I mention is, with Bill Walton passing away, that is a game that I know he would have loved. We would have had Trojans. We had Trojans versus Trojans. We had the Reign of Troy, which is what USC blogs are called, against actual Troy, and that broadcast would that game lasted over 3 hours. We would have had over 3 hours of Bill going wild. So RIP Bill Walton, and that game was a very nostalgic game, and a
And
very
USC
amazing game.
would be his national champion right now, probably coming off of that
Or Troy, even.
Or
I don't
Troy.
know. But great times. And then, USC pulled another one out under by the hair of their chin tonight against Boise State.
Yeah, Boise State's first loss. Well, yeah, again, to repeat it, first loss since Hawaii Pacific. All right.
I watched it real quick on two other teams in this conference. Griggs, Nebraska is now 6-0 and actually had a nice week with especially that win over Kansas State.
Yeah, and
Maybe not New Mexico, but
if you pull up their profile, I mean, they're not beating protected seeds, but they're not beating home bye game opponents either. I mean, I thought the win out at Oklahoma, or not at Oklahoma, but the win against Oklahoma up at the Pentagon was really good. New Mexico has at least part of a pulse, and winning their event and beating Kansas State in Kansas City, they're not playing like a protected seed, but they're playing like a top 40, top 50 team. And I think that they can make a run at the bubble. And the way they're playing, when they get those Big Ten teams on their home court, they're gonna knock some of them off. And they've already shown that they can win away from home. I'm kind of in on the basketball this year.
Yeah, I mean, a Creighton home game. Other than that, they're left with cupcakes in their non-conference portion of the schedule too. So it's going to come down to if you're 500 of the Big Ten at this point, I think they're in.
Yeah, I do
Yeah.
too. And
And
they
they're a
can
good
win
home
some of those
team.
games. Like they can go to Minnesota and win. They can go to Rutgers and win. They can go to Iowa and win. I mean, I mean, that's three winnable road games, and that's enough.
And they're a good home team. They're going to win a lot of their home games.
Right.
Good. When a lot of their home games, one or two true road wins, you do want to get them because you need to check that box. But that's about
Yeah, you
it.
do. Yeah.
And Stalika, real quick, Michigan State. We're going back almost a full week now, but that win over Kentucky also very impressive.
Yeah, it's only number 52 right now as far as the JNG. Of course, that number is going to get much higher as we get into regular season conference play. But that win against Arkansas, which they also had the first week of the year, is also going to hold some weight for Sparty here. And North Carolina is also going to be looming at the end of the week as well. So no rest for the weary.
Yeah, they got some non-conference tests left, unlike Nebraska. Some big ones.
Yeah.
Real quick, the rest of the upcoming schedule here in the Big Ten. A lot of games, even after tonight's big Michigan-San Diego State game. I guess there's a lot of these we could circle here, including Michigan and Auburn tomorrow as part of the games out there in Vegas. I mean, and you got the Michigan State-North Carolina game we just mentioned, going all the way down here. Illinois-UConn coming up on Friday. There's a lot of great games coming up this next week, as we mentioned.
Oh, it's the busiest week of the year.
I would also advise the undefeated Buckeyes not to lose at Pitt, which we'll get into later. Not a good year for the Panthers.
Yeah, we'll talk about Pitt here in a minute. You know what? Why don't we just go right there? I was going to go somewhere else next. Why don't we just go right over to the ACC?
We don't have to talk about Pitt, do we?
Pitt, yeah, they lost to UCF by 10 points. Okay, but we've got to scroll down here to get there. So many games. A horrible home loss to Quinnipiac. If you want to be a contender for an NCAA tournament spot, you can't be losing that game, Griggs.
No, and, you know, it's the NCAA tournament is on four channels. It's fun to watch on TV. That's what Pitt will be doing.
But Rocco, they didn't win the game today, but what an effort. I don't know how much you got to see of that, but what an effort by the Orange against Houston, taking them to overtime. Had a shot to win the game.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I took off from Jacksonville back to the hotel, Jacksonville Classic back to the hotel in time to see the second half, and then, of course, the overtime. Syracuse certainly looks the part. They're extremely talented. So they've got a huge box checked with the talent. Now it's just like, can Autry pull out enough? Adrian Autry, the head coach, can he pull out enough of these close games? Obviously, Houston, you're going to get a great pass for. They're a top five, top two type program, of course, inches away from a national title last year. But tomorrow, I really think tomorrow is the key for Syracuse, because they're playing a Kansas team that I think will be not having Peterson. And I really think Syracuse is the better team right now. So if they go out and split Houston and Kansas, they're a very legit team with a significant win under their belt, and hopefully set themselves up for another good matchup on Wednesday or Thursday. But I think it was at least a really good first step in their first big test that they can hang with the big guys. Now you got to beat a big guy.
The big guy, and they're coming up next week here as I believe it's part of the ACC. Is this a challenge game or what? The Tennessee game on the second.
It is. Yeah,
the ACC game.
They get it in the dome. Yeah,
they get it in the dome. Tennessee. Because it's in the dome, that could become an interesting game as well, especially if they could pick up a win out here in Vegas and really put themselves on the map. Stalica, Louisville, very nice week. They took care of Cincinnati, which I know you love to see.
Yeah, that would have been at a Heritage Bank Center, formerly the Riverfront Coliseum. It's probably would have been close to a 50-50 crowd, because Louisville fans will travel, and both UC and Xavier. One thing the fans have in common, they don't like the downtown arena. They both love their on-campus arenas, but I guess this was more of a compromise in that they were able to at least get this environment to schedule Louisville.
Yeah, it was. So the Heritage Bank Center, whatever it's called. What are they
it's
calling
it? It's a shithole. I'll just leave it at that.
It is a shithole, but it is a larger shithole than – well, larger as in more people. The Shoemaker Center, whatever they're calling that now, UC's on-campus arena is really nice. Cincinnati and Louisville, rather than doing a home-and-home, doing a neutral and neutral and splitting the tickets in Freedom Hall next year and in downtown Cincinnati this year, which is interesting. But okay.
Griggs, very nice week also for Clemson. They beat West Virginia and Georgia to take their event. I think those are solid wins. Neither team may be great at the end of the day, but they're the type of wins that build up a resume also.
I agree 100%. They were away from home, and they were against, you know, that in the tier two range probably. Georgia, I still think, is really good. I just thought, Clemson had a really good week. That's a good profile.
Okay. Duke obviously with the big week with the win over Kansas as well.
Not
I'm
so
going
long,
go
Duke.
go.
Good. Look, just
You're
kidding.
not you're okay. I was
Yeah,
we
yeah.
were going to do it. We were about to do an hour on Duke if you wanted to tell me why Duke wasn't any good this year, Griggs.
No, no.
I also do need to give a very quick shout out to Notre Dame. As you know, they went. They lost to Kansas today.
This is
This
incredible.
afternoon,
Rocco, you're going to have to explain this.
they check this out here. Just tonight, they went, and there they are. They lost a tough one, 102 to 52, but they went all the way to Maryland, played UMBC tonight, right there, 102 52 loss, and now they're flying back to Vegas for their game tomorrow against Rutgers.
That is unbelievable scheduling on the part of the Irish. Just go,
That's a lot
you
of
know,
frequent flyer miles.
yeah, three games in about 24 hours in three different time zones. The Irish.
They really got to be Rutgers tomorrow, otherwise they go 0-3 in that stretch.
Yeah.
And domestic flights these
Yeah,
days, they don't even give you a full meal anymore. You have to
I
fly
know. I mean,
international to get a full meal.
no wonder they
I
lost
didn't
by
get
50
expelled
points to UMBC. That no
because they
wonder
didn't get a meal. They didn't get a
they didn't
meal
get
on
a
the flight.
meal. And the airports are just crazy, even in Vegas.
Out of control.
Out of control. Yeah.
Let's take a quick look at the upcoming week here because we've got a lot. As with all these teams, we've got a lot of really good games coming up here, including NC State. Rocco really needs to bounce back against. It's going to be against Boise State tomorrow, and then in the possibly against a team like I don't know, Washington State or Arizona State or somebody in the third game.
Yeah,
Now
the
they're
way
on
it's
that
looking
loser
right now,
side.
Chaminade's beating Washington State by 15. It's
Yeah.
unbelievable. And I'm trying to calm my excitement, but that is very exciting. And so if Washington State's in the losers bracket, they could definitely play Will Wade. Yeah, just an amazing result. Like, I don't think anybody that I talked to, at least, and you guys might know somebody, but I had zero expectation for NC State to be in the direct consolation after losing to Seton Hall. That was a win on paper. They lose by 11. But I still think long term NC State's fine. It's a long trip for both Seton Hall and NC State to get to Maui. And you're in a different environment. They're all transfer portal players. Even Will Wade's a transfer portal coach. So it's fine. You give him a pass for that one. But now you really expect NC State to be locked in against Boise tomorrow. We're not going to talk much about Boise tonight. Maybe we will, but. It's a golden opportunity for Boise too.
It is.
I mean they're actually in a weird way glad they can play them. Even though they would have preferred to win today, like one of the silver linings is they get this opportunity now.
Yeah, and it's not a loser's bracket game. It's just a
No.
game.
And two huge games here to circle on
Best game
Thanksgiving.
on their schedule now.
Yeah.
Two huge games now to circle on Thanksgiving. Duke, Arkansas, and North Carolina, Michigan State. Just circle those. Forget about Thanksgiving dinner, Griggs. Just watch those games, correct?
I never
Bonnie's
understood
gonna
what
win.
being with your family had to do with college basketball. So,
Just pull up a slice of ice cream and pumpkin pie. That's all you need for Duke
yeah.
and Arkansas.
Let's jump over to the Big 12 conference.
Oh boy.
Griggs, where do you want to start? Go ahead.
let's see.
Maybe a little bit of consolation here. Houston, we talked about how already their win over Syracuse tonight. 2 weeks ago, they were number one in the AP poll. They have not lost. Now they've fallen all the way down number three in the AP poll. They keep dropping.
Yeah.
But the team that jumped them in the AP poll was Arizona.
Yeah.
That win
A
at UConn
massive
was,
win.
yeah.
Yeah. That was a massive win. And that was not in Hartford. That was not in Boston. That was on campus in stores. It was just a great game for them to go and play. I just love you hate to this is just a silly thing to say, but it's just I love when showcase out of conference games are on campus because it feels like you just don't get many of those anymore. Like what an environment that was. It was great for the students. It was great for everybody. It was certainly great for Arizona. But I love these events. I really love these in-season tournaments, but to get a game like that at this point of the year with that level of energy and that caliber of play was just awesome.
Another team with a big week, Stalika, BYU, that just pounded Wisconsin. Now, this
Okay,
might be a
what
bit of an
was
indictment.
going on with that floor?
That's the NBA Cup floor. Wasn't it awesome?
No.
Yeah,
it very much was not.
It was way worse than whatever.
To be distracted.
that floor was bad. That floor was it was purple.
I thought it was the edibles, but it was
It might be inappropriate, but it was like two girls, one NBA cup, and it was very
yes.
ugly. Very ugly.
No, that is very appropriate. That is the best description of what that was.
Yeah,
but BYU won that game.
I know Zach and I are going to die on that hill, but. We love those floors.
No.
Because we only get to see them once a year for that tournament.
Well, that's because you and Zach are very disturbed people.
You guys need to join me at Edward Waters University tomorrow. We have four more games that you're more than welcome to join.
And one more Wednesday, too, right?
That's right. Miami, Ohio's flying in for one.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see them.
Yeah. Rocco, Iowa State, I don't know if you were able to, I think this game was going on while you were broadcasting today, but. But they are sitting here undefeated now. Found a way to win over St. John's.
I caught the last 5 minutes. I was I like what Iowa State's done this year so far. Like from the Mississippi State performance of 2 weeks ago to today, really there are only two real tests. But I was just thoroughly impressed with how they handled Mississippi State, especially like towards the end of the first half and. Rolled them in the second half. They're a little deeper than I thought. I think, you know, Dominic Nelson's a guy that I got to cover at Utah Valley. He ended up winning the WAC Player of the Year. He's not even good enough to start on this Iowa State team. He's like the seventh guy overall. Joshua Jefferson, of course, you guys know. I know him very well from St. Mary's. Milan Momcilovic is an incredibly talented Euro player that's now been in college basketball a couple of years. The one thing that concerned me preseason about the Cyclones, Chad, was Tamin Livesey and his injury, but he came back faster than expected and he's producing already. He had 16 in this game. And so they're very deep. Nate Heisey's a veteran guy, like probably close to 25 years old. I think, barring the only thing that concerned me earlier in the process, like summer and almost October fall time, was Iowa State's health. They're healthy now and they're very, very good. And beating St. John's is no small effort. That's going to go a long ways from them.
I think it will.
With their resume. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a Johnny's team. I know they've dumped two games early, but they've dumped them to likely protected seeds and they're going to get better. Rick Pitino teams, once they get into the holiday break, which is coming up in the next couple of weeks, I think that and this is something that a lot of people that might not be as close to the game as we are don't understand, but the 20-hour-a-week practice limits go away over the break. You can practice 10 hours a day if you want, and Rick Pitino reportedly does, and that's when his teams go from good to very good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here. Iowa State has Creighton tomorrow in their next game. I think they've got a real good shot given, you know, Creighton's injury issues that they've had going on here to get through that one. And now, point differential is one of the tiebreakers. And given they only beat St. John's by one, the probably best shot is maybe the third place game unless they win by 20 out there in the players there. But on the other hand, they're going to get a good opponent. Even if they're in not even the third place game, they're in a fifth place type of game, you know, they're going to get the best team in those consolation brackets if they go 2-0. And
the players era format, good God. I love soccer. I love World Cup qualifying, but I don't want to see that in college basketball. That is just garbage. Can we get rid of that?
Griggs, they're going to get, no matter what, they're going to have three very good opponents on the resume from this event. And that's what matters for this selection committee. They don't care if you won the championship or not.
Yeah, but I just kind of like to see a basic bracket. That's what.
But they are giving the champion another million, so it is kind of a big deal from your wallet perspective.
It is a big deal from the wallet. You are correct.
And I would also say that Iowa State Creighton game is, of course, the Greg McDermott Bowl. Spent several years coaching Iowa State, so a lot of interesting storylines within that. But I just think Creighton might not even be. At this moment, with the injuries and all that, they might not even be tournament good. They're still trying to find themselves. They had Kalkbrenner for so many years, and they're just way different without that big centerpiece. They don't have a Kalkbrenner replacement.
And the other two games, I mean, look at this. So we got Baylor, St. John's, and Houston, Tennessee coming up tomorrow. So if you're planning on going to work, don't stay home. Get out to pass the ball to what? To listen to Rocco. Which game are you calling tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow I'll be doing William and Mary versus Abilene Christian, Chad.
Catch that and then
See,
watch
I don't,
the players over the rest
6:30
of the day.
Eastern, right in the middle of the day, right when you most want it and most need it.
I think that's dinner break out in Vegas too, so you'll get a little
perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Watch the most beautiful offense in the land, the William and Mary Tribe offense.
Oh, it is amazing.
Number
well,
1 6:30
out
clock.
Here, that's 3:30 in Vegas. That's rush hour out there. Yeah.
Oh, it is the break. There's only one game on the 6 o'clock window today. I think it's probably the same tomorrow.
Perfect.
Let's, you know what? Because we have a potential story brewing here, I'm going to hold off on the SEC for a minute here. I've been trying to delay it, and but let's take a
the
quick
real
look over.
Story, the real story is in the PacWest Conference. Come on.
PacWest. Well, why don't we? Well, actually, that's on under the radar. We're talking about late night tonight, Hawaii, Pacific Hawaii. Mountain West.
Chaminade Wazoo.
And Chaminade Wazoo. And let's go Mountain West, and then we'll go West Coast. We'll talk both of these here. But the Mountain West, as far as this past week goes.
Utah State.
Yes.
I mean, completely Billy clubbed. They Billy clubbed the entire tournament. They beat Tulane by 21 and Davidson by 34. They leave Orlando with a plus 55 scoring margin. That's not what tournaments are supposed to be.
That's
but
this
very
is what
good
that,
team. Very
yeah,
good team.
They really are. And you know, let's not forget they beat VCU, another pretty decent team prior to this. So that's three wins against, you know, teams with a pulse. And that's the foundation of a pretty solid resume.
And unfortunately for the Mountain West, the only other story here, the only other team that's looking any that I think might be going here is San Diego State, but they did have that double overtime loss as part of that amazing road trip against Troy. Huge
might
games coming up.
It might have torpedoed the resume, but they're going to get way more opportunities, but. If they
start tonight with Michigan, yeah.
No, they definitely can. They can win their way in, of course. But I just think if, you know, Chad, like if they go, you know, win a few of those, but then lose a couple more shaky ones, I could just see at the end of the day, like a home Troy loss being a difference, and I would hate that for them.
Yeah, you also had Colorado State, who was undefeated going into Friday, but they lost their front range opener at home against Denver. That's also a problem.
That
was not a good showing by Colorado State at home.
I'll say on the bright side though, we don't get a chance to give this team much praise almost ever.
Are you going where I think you are?
I hope so. Fresno State University.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Three in a row now, and against the three names I'm about to name, all have a lot of upside on the season. They beat Utah Valley in a game they had no business winning by 1 point. That was actually a couple Saturdays ago. But in the last week, Stephen F. Austin came in there undefeated, and they end the game on a 7-0 run. And so that was the second in a row. Two games they should have probably lost. They win them both. And then Master P in New Orleans and Stacey Hollowell came in on Friday, and they beat them by 9. So the confidence is brewing. One of the transfers is Jake Head, excuse me, hide breeder, and came from Clemson. A lot of success, of course, when he was there. Didn't get the role he wanted. Now he comes to Fresno State, and he's the guy. He scores 33 in the game against New Orleans. So, I just think pretty impressive for Fresno State to be 5-2, and particularly those three in a row they've rattled off, because I think all three of those teams are pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean.
They've got Pepperdine and Bakersfield coming up next, so not games that'll move the needle, but they keep picking up wins. You got to pay more and more attention to this team.
And considering how the rest of the conference has performed, they are one of the bigger stories. I was gonna say, how about Air Force not being centenary level bad?
we'll see. Let's give them a little more time to keep going here.
And Wyoming's 5-1. I mean, let's. Yeah. let's keep the flame going. They have a tough one with Denver on Wednesday.
They do.
I like this Denver team a lot.
We got a big front range week with Denver, Wyoming, and Northern Colorado Air Force coming up this week. So
are they all play? Did it come back? Are they doing the full front range round robin now?
No, nobody does.
I think the only thing Chad has memorized is the front range schedule. It's unbelievable.
I got those like that.
Well, that I know we have it as a mythical conference, but it used to be a thing, and there's banners in those arenas. Like, it was a thing.
I actually think Denver, Wyoming is going to be worth your time watching. It'd be a good game.
Yeah. Denver coming off the win of Colorado State, so who knows?
Really, really good coach that they hired. It was awesome for them.
Stalika, let's jump over to the West Coast Conference, where Gonzaga, as we record this, is early on in their game with Alabama, but they are sitting here undefeated on the season.
Yeah, they're undefeated, and I think we also have a slightly bigger upset brewing, and that's Washington State losing by 14 against hometown Chaminade in the Maui Invitational. That would not be good for a Cougar team that's already leaking oil this season.
Leaking oil, and now even worse. And here we go. Let's see if we could get a quick update on the score here. We got it at should be update populated here in half a second here as we record this, but there we go. It's halftime now. Chaminade's up by 11. And it has not been, it wasn't not only not a good week, though, for Washington State, also not a very good week for our other former and soon to be again Pac-12 team, Oregon State. Honestly, a brutal week 0-4 here, Rocco. Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah, that was bad of me to pick them to make the finals in the Paradise game. They went down to the Paradise Jam and drank nothing but the stuff that Griggs would have ordered. And that is not, and they just completely forgot they had to play games. I should say the Iona game was a double overtime heartbreaker and nobody blew them out. But that Oregon State, come on, guys. You can't be losing to Evansville, Iona, and UMass three in a row. That's awful. No excuses. The one thing that it does, like big picture, Chad, with Seattle, I think the big story from last week was Seattle use win
at Stanford. Stanford's
undefeated. And it was the way the game ended. They were down by 14 deep into the second half, and they end the game on a 34-12 tenacious defensive pressure run. And there's a lot of things to think about within that. One, the confidence it's going to give them in the way that they apply pressure to future opponents. Two, with the state of Seattle U's program being new to this conference and trying to gain respect, I think they earned a ton of respect by going to Stanford and beating Kyle Smith in particular as the head coach. And three, trying to sort out the middle of this conference. I think we all agree Santa Clara and San Francisco at 3-4 in the conference are a cut above whoever the 5-6 are. But both Loyola Marymount and Seattle, they're the very clear 5-6 now with Washington State and Oregon State struggling.
Yeah, LMU's got, you got to go back a week now. They picked up that nice overtime road win at UC Santa Barbara. So
game. They were down by 15 in that game.
They are, as we record this, they're playing Florida Atlantic in the Sunshine Slam. They're down there in Florida also. They're down 4 points in the second half. So we'll see what happens.
Almost a road game, but not quite. But yeah.
When you have a team from California playing in Florida against a team from Florida, I think it should count as a road game.
Now that I'm here in Florida, like South Florida people treat North Florida like it's a different state. So I don't know. They're playing in North Florida.
Mm-hmm. Gonzaga has the game going on right now. They're going to get Maryland tomorrow, and then their finals of the Players Era. St. Mary's, what do they got? They got Wichita State.
They're in the Atlantis. So
Atlantis, yeah.
If chalk holds, they'll play Vanderbilt in the finals. But there's a lot of great teams in that event, and it'll be good for St. Mary's no matter how it shakes out.
Yeah, and let's not forget also Santa Clara Final Four, Santa Clara.
Yes,
yeah, I love the Santa Clara different tournaments out in Palm Desert.
I would be voting.
Yeah,
them.
I think
this is a very good Santa Clara team.
Well, honestly, out of any of the non-power leagues. Santa Clara versus St. Louis on Thursday, right on your Turkey Day, 7 Eastern. That is an absolute showstopper because St. Louis has been just destroying everything in their path. Santa Clara has been doing the same thing. You see what McNeese is doing right now down in the Caymans. They just destroyed Murray, and they surprised a lot of people by beating George Washington. We'll talk about that in a second. But we get Santa Clara on fire against St. Mary's on fire. Sorry, Santa Clara on fire against St. Louis on fire. That's an unbelievable game for this level.
Yeah, it is. And it's potentially very important.
Yes, and the winner will get Stanford or Minnesota. So will the loser. But you would have to think the winner of that will be extremely confident going into either Stanford or Minnesota.
Let's jump over to the SEC. We almost had a brewing story here, but as we're recording this, hasn't even come up on the screen yet. Despite being down the majority of the game, Mississippi State just came back and did knock off New Orleans at home in overtime.
After banking in a three with about a second to go.
Dang it.
So we'll probably talk a little more New Orleans coming up tomorrow night with you under the radar. But Stalika, where do you want to start with this conference?
I'd probably start with Tennessee because given that they had a 26-point win, a blowout win against Rutgers, that probably puts them in the catbird seat as far as getting into the championship game, or at the very least a third place game, assuming they're able to get a win tomorrow in their next Players Era game.
Yeah, so they're sitting here at 6-0. Rocco, we've got Alabama. They are going on as we record this, but they had that huge win over Illinois on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a resume. I mean, really no shame in losing to Purdue at this point when you've gone to Chicago and beaten Illinois and you've gone to Madison Square Garden and beaten St. John's. They're going to continue to have really amazing wins and a handful of losses because they're in this event, of course, in Vegas with big time competition leading with Gonzaga. They're off to a great start. I think they were up by 7 last I saw. They'll play UNLV tomorrow, which they should be able to handle them. They get Clemson in the SEC, ACC, and then they have a neutral site technically, but it's almost a home game in Birmingham with Arizona, the team that everybody's talking about. Playing South Florida is a good game to play. Playing Yale is a good game to play. And same with Kennesaw State. So I just love the way every time Alabama takes the court, it means something. And I just wish we saw that everywhere.
And Griggs, their in-state rivals there, Auburn. We were worried after opening day
Yeah,
with
we
this
were.
Auburn team. They are putting the finishing touches as we record this on Oregon, and what will be by far their best win of the season. And so, and
Yeah.
this team suddenly, Steve Pearl's team looks like it's for real.
It is. And perhaps one of the more impressive things on there is the game they didn't win. I know they didn't win it, but oh my God, did they battle a very, very good Houston team. Having said that, so did Syracuse today. But after almost just barfing on themselves in the season opener, they seem to have worked out the kinks. And this game against Michigan tomorrow is interesting. I know we've already been through the Big Ten. We didn't discuss Michigan a whole lot. They're ranked 7th. They've won all their games. You can't really fault them for anything, but I guess just the eye test, they haven't looked as good, at least not to me, as you would expect a team ranked that high to look. And I think Auburn might really, really step up on them and maybe beat them. Keep in mind, Wake Forest took them to overtime. There was one or two other games that they kind of sweated in. This being Michigan. It's not an easy game for Auburn, but it's one they can win. Auburn's playing really well.
They are the rest of the upcoming schedule here, Stalico. We hit on a few of these games, but there are a lot of really good games here tomorrow. As we've been talking about with all these conferences, I don't even know where else to look at here.
Yeah, I think we can safely say that Tennessee not going to get a 25-point win against Houston tomorrow. They'll definitely be getting a much stiffer challenge right there. And you look at, again, Auburn going against Michigan, Alabama getting a somewhat easier opponent against UNLV, even though it is the Rebels' backyard here.
They'll crush them. Oh, UNLV, not the
And
best.
Chad, I would like to call out the Ole Miss versus Iowa game. I think that's a tremendous matchup. On the Iowa end of things, obviously with Coach McCollum, they look amazing so far, but they haven't really had the test. On the Ole Miss side, they did squeak by Memphis. They had a couple bye games that were close, but I think overall, it's Chris Beard's program. They built a really good roster. You've got two extremely confident coaches head to head, McCollum, Beard. I think it's an amazing matchup, and we're waiting to see what these teams are all about. Both of them undefeated, but not really with a test yet.
Yeah, that is a huge one tomorrow, actually. It's kind of funny that the winner plays Grand Canyon or Utah. You know, they did not bracket this event very well.
Who, by the way, have combined to lose to both Cal Poly and Youngstown.
Yeah. Of course, we mentioned earlier the Arkansas-Duke game on Thursday as well. That is another huge one there.
I think you can just treat Iowa-Ole Miss as the championship game already.
Probably should. Let's jump over to the American real quick. Griggs, go ahead. Give the American its due here because I'm not certain what it is due at this point.
The one team I did kind of want to focus on a little bit.
What, the last place team, Memphis?
Well, yeah, we could probably 1-4, not the best start for the Tigers. Losing at home to UNLV was kind of alarming. A really good battle against Wake Forest, and they stepped up in Purdue. So half of their losses happened within a 24-hour period. One was just a ridiculous Bryce Drew type of shot to beat them. The other was a battle against Purdue where they were right in that game until the phantom technical foul. Who was the kid that just threw himself to the floor for an inexplicable reason?
Well, why don't we talk about the team that to me is like the best team in the conference? I think this is where you were going. How about the Golden Hurricane?
Yes, that was where I was going. And not the most impressive profile, but a really good win over a roadie team that's looked pretty good. Only loss was a game, lost in the final seconds to K-State at the Octagon. So I agree. They need some more meat on that profile. They certainly need to do well in their event. You kind of wish their schedule was a little bit stronger, but I think they have looked the best in the league. That was where I was going.
They have, and unfortunately for this league, we may be dealing with this league on Wednesday nights before the end of the season instead of Monday nights.
UAB, come on. I was on the call today.
Yeah, nice, absolutely. They've got a great looking profile if you ignore the Alabama State home loss.
Hey, they've beaten two teams that came in undefeated, and that would be South Alabama and High Point.
The win against High Point was pretty impressive.
17-point win there.
They get UTEP tomorrow. Southern
Illinois is good, too. Yeah, I mean, and they should. They honestly should beat UTEP. Southern Illinois was their bigger test. I think despite Southern Illinois' record, they are very talented and loaded and physical. They play the same style as UAB, and it really came down to who could out-physical who. And the Blazers just by some slight margins got it done. I thought it was a really good game.
I should also add, as we speak, Florida Atlantic has now a 12-point lead against our Loyola Marymount, so that would knock the Lions from the ranks of the unbeaten if that were to hold. So expect the FAU's metrics to go up a bit after tonight.
And they would get George Mason tomorrow if they hold on here in this event, which is a team we're about to get to because we're about to get over to the A-10. Real quick, though, Tulsa, they better win this event here. San Jose State and either Northern Iowa or Loyola. Northern Iowa's got some life.
Good. Northern Iowa is good.
Yeah.
That's, you still better win
Northern
the event.
Northern Iowa, I think, is going into this expecting to win it.
Yeah.
So Tulsa's going to have to match that energy.
Yeah, but that's a big game.
And don't count out Tim Miles. Come on, Chad.
Oh,
Tulsa, San Jose State tomorrow night.
Yeah,
San Jose State's in the bracket. Tim Miles is going to win this tournament.
I think he is. Well, the thing is, Tim Miles only allowed to use four players the last several years. That's why they've been struggling. But it wouldn't be fair.
We got to move on here. And Rocco, we just talked a little bit about this George Mason team. Real nice. I mean, they blew out Ohio today, the first round of that event here. And I'm starting to take notice of this team. Are you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think they, with Tony Skin's program these last few years, it's all about defense. And you look at the numbers right now, I just pulled up the KenPom and they're top 40 in stopping threes perimeter wise, top 40 in stopping twos, top seven. They're number 17 in all around.
Yeah, look up here. Defensive stats: seventh in points per game, eighth in opponent's field goal, 31 and 3 points. That's net. That's out of three. That's not the conference. That's overall the league. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're top 17 in one of my favorite categories, which is called the non-steal turnover percentage, which if you know anything about tennis, I would convert that to unforced errors, really just rattling teams and getting them out of their comfort zone, which is exactly how these last, I'm looking at their schedule, three Division I results have played out, like completely dismantling Ohio today, but also Jacksonville and New Hampshire before that. So, and Winthrop's an extremely old team. It's a weird early season, high scoring 96-90 result, but you saw after that, they've limited more possessions. Today's Ohio game was a 68 possession game. I think that's going to only continue to get lower and lower as they fine tune the defense, and they're efficient enough on offense to, they have a top 100 offense. So, George Mason's running the show, and you know, this team's kind of due for something big because I felt like they were right there last year and they really made a move the year before.
Tony Skin doing a great job since taking over.
Amazing job. And he loves that place. Like he wears George Mason on his sleeves. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah. They were pretty good when he was there, as you might recall.
Yes. Yes.
just a little Final Four run. That's all.
Yeah.
Griggs, I guess there's a few other teams we can discuss. Dayton, with the win at Marquette.
I think
Marquette.
We got to discuss Dayton a little bit, with their win at Marquette. Now, Marquette, everybody, beating Marquette is turning into a pastime all of a sudden. Everybody's doing it. But Dayton went there on the road and won their only loss, a true road game at Cincinnati. And they scheduled up after not doing that last year to give themselves the chances. And they're doing the things they need to do to make a run at the bubble. They've got a really big game against Georgetown. We talked about that briefly. I think this tournament coming up is a big, big deal for them.
Well, yeah, BYU or Miami.
BYU. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Chad.
Now, one prediction I'll make is that the Flyer fans will probably travel the best, even more than Miami fans down to Orlando, because this basically is a Super Bowl type event for the Flyer faithful.
Well, the BYU fans are, there's lots of them and they're everywhere.
Yeah. One more team here, Stalica, St. Louis, another team that's also caught my attention, 5-0 again, that right is... now by J&G readings, they'd all be quad four wins, but you know, it's still too early for these quadruples to really mean much, I think, too.
Yeah. But I think, as Rocco will tell us whenever we have our selection committee meetings, just throw out the tier four games and just look at the top three, where they haven't really faced anybody yet. But
Grand Canyon will be a top three at least.
Yeah, that should.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, I'm looking at Santa Clara and LMU and either Stanford or Minnesota coming up later this week.
Yeah, this is a huge week for St. Louis's non-conference profile. It really is.
How about St. Bonaventure getting a crack at North Carolina tomorrow? I think that's a huge deal because I've watched St. Bonaventure play, and I thought they were really impressive in the, you know, to pull out the Bradley win early. They haven't had as big of a game yet, but fairly, you know, Youngstown came in really hot and they got that done.
Fun game.
It was a fun game. They got it done. Robert Morris has had a pretty good start. They've got some pieces there. They got that done. And now Bonnies get to play the role of the underdog. They haven't really had that opportunity yet. And North Carolina, I mean, if you've watched UNC, you know, the Kansas game was really good for them, but they struggled a little bit with Navy. And I know they beat NC Central by like 40, but I watched that game for whatever reason. I was with a former NC Central, too much information, but I was with an NC Central former coach that night. And NC Central, like, and North Carolina was making a lot of mistakes in those games. I just think if things break right, the Bonnies actually have a chance to win.
Do they have a chance to win? Yes, because you know, everybody has a chance to win. You know, heck, Chaminade has a real chance against Wazoo. But I'm not with you, Rocco. I think North Carolina.
Seton Hall beat NC State, Chad. Seton Hall beat NC State.
Yeah, they did. He got you there.
I could be wrong. We'll see what happens.
I would have said St. Bonaventure is better than Seton Hall before this. When I
would have, I would have said that all day long. I would have probably said NC State was better than North Carolina. I was so big on the Wolfpack coming into this year. So
Richmond also undefeated here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, kind of untested. I like this Richmond team. I know that this shocked you, Chad. I picked them as my dark horse this year in this conference.
Here's the upcoming schedule, and we got a hell of a game tomorrow night out of this conference. Yes, my law school, Rutgers Camden, D3, the Scarlet Raptors at St. Joe's.
St.
Joe's. Once every 6 or 7 years, Rutgers Camden shows up on a D1 schedule. So this is my chance.
So is that the battle for the Ben Franklin Bridge or the Walt Whitman Bridge?
Ben Franklin Bridge.
Yeah, this game on Thursday between Dayton and Georgetown is massive.
Rutgers Camden is literally under the Ben Franklin Bridge. So literally.
That's cool. That's cool. Can we talk about the disaster that is Loyola Chicago?
Oh my God! Do we have to?
Go ahead. I mean, it's just so weird. Even just looking at the screen, it's so weird to see them at the bottom of the league. Like,
and look at these losses. Mercyhurst.
Northern Illinois has been the Mac's been bad, and Northern Illinois has been the anchor that dragged the boat to the bottom of the ocean, and they were good enough to beat Loyola Chicago by double digits. Or, by 17.
And look at some of these numbers here. 302nd in rebounds per game, 350th in steals per game, 240 in opponent's points. The numbers, 272nd in field goal percentage. They're not a good team, flat out. Just not a good team.
Which is crazy because I have an idea of the amount of money that it costs to get their roster, and it's just money not well spent.
Yeah, the rest of the upcoming schedule for this week in the conference is here on the screen. We've talked about the St. Louis Santa Clara game earlier. That is definitely the game to circle here, along with with Dayton's games that are coming up, and the Bonnies North Carolina. But that actually does complete everything. So let's go ahead and pull this down here. Run through for any other final thoughts, Sleek. Let me start with you.
Well, we could definitely starting to see some shape taking in as far as. Some of the top 10 teams we're seeing, I think, with the Players Era Festival. We got Tennessee off to a strong start. Baylor starting to look like they've actually had a decent 7-point win against Creighton. But one other thing I'm disappointed that wasn't covered, I think, in a previous Hoops HD report after Ohio State's big win over Notre Dame. I mean, weren't there like hundreds of thousands of fans pouring out onto Lane Avenue over in Ohio State's campus following that?
Wrong sport. Rocco.
Thanks for having me, guys. I don't think I was around for much of the Big East part, so I'll just talk about
we started there, actually. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And I just think, first of all, you know, one of the teams of the week I did this week was, of course, the Butler Bulldogs, a team picked near the bottom of the league, a team like people were questioning if Thad Mott is the guy, and then maybe that's still like a fair question as we go forward. But I just think them going to the Greenbrier, taking care of South Carolina was one thing, which I think we kind of were okay, you know, not too surprised by. But beating a really loaded Virginia team for the finals, and in that Virginia game, they pretty much led throughout. It wasn't like they had to rally and it was a surprise Butler win. They were the better team basically the whole game. That blows me away. Michael Ajayi is a guy originally from the Seattle area, had a great year or two at Pepperdine, couldn't cut it with Mark Few at Gonzaga. A lot of schools wrote him off. Butler took a shot on him. He's now got six straight double-doubles, Chad. So really impressive by him. Bizjack, like obviously kind of the man there, 25 points in the championship game against Virginia. And now Butler suddenly, you know, they do have the 2-point loss at SMU, but that doesn't look bad. SMU's undefeated.
Yeah, how about I was about to follow you up, Rocco, and say the game they lost may have been one of their most impressive showings. They could have won that game.
And they're in the process, if I'm an SMU fan, I'm all about this Butler hot streak because it's only helping SMU. So that's one piece. When you know, anytime in a league. Any league, really, but the Big East is really the only power league left where there's 11 teams, that low of a number. The other ones have 16 or 18. So it's even more important that the bottom of the league can step up. And we already know Georgetown's performing at an NCAA tournament level so far. Now you know the Seton Hall story is starting to emerge out of nowhere after today. You have the Butler Foundation of this weekend. So I think, you know, there's a huge changing of the guard potentially happening before our eyes as Creighton's trying to figure out life without Kalkbrenner, as Marquette has really been a shell of what they were so far. And, you know, we don't know what to make of Providence yet. I think Villanova's got a little bit of upside, but they have a hall pass with year one of Kevin Willard. Maybe it is Georgetown, Seton Hall, Butler type of teams that are going to resurrect and keep the league like where it wants to be.
Forget Kalkbrenner, Jack, or Creighton now has to figure out life without Jackson McAndrew.
Good point, John. And Xavier, and to your and another point, Xavier actually showed some life these last couple of games. That's a good sign.
Yeah, they did.
And that's only going to help Santa Clara. So we appreciate it, John and Xavier.
There we go. Greg, you want to finish off the show?
You know, I kind of hemmed and hawed during our preview show about the in-season tournaments, about how it just felt like they were being underserved and it wasn't the same formats as before. I do got to say that now that we're getting into it, one of the things I used to love about this time of the year was teams that were not even on the radar, whether they were from power conferences or not, could kind of get catapulted into the spotlight. That is still happening. I think while Xavier didn't get the wins, they suddenly looked better than what we thought. Clemson went out and won a few big games. Nobody really thought much of them. And Syracuse wasn't on anyone's radar. They didn't win the day, but they had a really good showing. And if they can get some wins in that event. So Feast Week, while I don't like it as much, I kind of don't like the formats as much as I used to. It still did, at least today, feel a lot like Feast Week. The games were exciting. There were some surprises, and there were some teams that were nowhere near getting votes that are starting to make accounts for themselves. Having said that, the players era going out to 32 teams, I don't know how I feel about that in and of itself. But what I don't want to have happen, Rocco kind of alluded to this, a lot of people don't want to go to these events if certain teams are there, and they don't like the bracketed 18 formats anymore because they want to have scouting reports and know who they're going to play. Whereas in the past, part of the excitement of these events is that you didn't know how they were going to play out. You didn't know who was going to play who. And that was part of the storyline. But what I don't want moving forward, and I'm afraid we're moving in this direction, is for the gems of Feast Week, the November tournaments, the in-season tournaments, are the unranked teams, are the teams that nobody really knew much about or had a lot of questions about, that go to these events and establish themselves. There's all kinds of examples. I remember the year Michigan did not receive any top 25 votes at all, no one's radar, and they went out and beat three top 10 teams and jumped all the way up to fourth. I think it was the biggest jump in the polls in history, and I believe they went to the final, to the championship game this year. So this sort of is a springboard for a lot of good teams, and it is exciting basketball, and I love it when we have a top-level team from outside a power conference playing a ranked team and a chandelier falls on the floor. That's Feast Week.
Hey, we did see a ball hit the ceiling at the Greenbrier. Yesterday. So it was it does happen still. I would just say, Griggs, I get it not liking some of these events, but if we're going to get the quality of play that we've seen just today in the beginning of the players era, next year with even more teams – and these types of games, because that's what I want to see this time of year, is I want to see these great games. I don't necessarily want to see more of the bi-level, bi-game quality games that we've been seeing the last couple of weeks.
Oh, I don't like the bi-games either.
But I also want to make one comment about your quote note about teams not wanting to do these bracketed events. They want to know who they're playing. I don't get that, because don't you have to kind of have a little bit of practice of doing that? Because, you know, isn't there a tournament that you want to win at the end of the year where you don't know exactly who your opponent's going to be after each game?
Yeah, I think
it's called the NCAA tournament.
Right.
You know,
amen.
This is a chance to do exactly what you're going to be doing in the tournament that you really want to win.
Yeah.
So why aren't you doing it during the regular season?
The event at Charleston, exactly. And I know Rocco's here, he can speak to this better than I can. Mm-hmm. The event in Charleston went to 2 4-team brackets for that very reason. If they didn't want to play in the 8-team event because they wanted to know who they were playing. And that's ridiculous.
And in the four team example, you can justify it a little bit if you are the bigger schools, because in the NCAA tournament, you're just playing one weekend at a time.
You play 3-4 team tournaments,
Yeah,
basically.
so if you're scouting, you've
Yeah.
got your team in the first game, and then you got the other two to pay attention to, and that's it. It's the same thing as doing the New Charleston. So that's the rationale there. But it is a little more exciting than just showing, for especially from a fan's point of view, showing
Yeah.
up and knowing exactly who you're playing.
Well,
Yeah.
on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We will be back tomorrow night, a day early this week for Under the Radar with Thanksgiving coming up. And next week, back to our normal schedule with the Monday Night Hoops HD report. But on behalf of David Griggs, John Stalica, John Titel, who joined us at the top of the show, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, who joined us for the majority of the show, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.